Welcome back to part two. Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira. Even if we're in a situation, we have to understand that it took steps to get there, right? If you find yourself lost in the woods, you have to understand you took those steps and you were walking in a direction that ended up getting you lost. So let's focus a little bit on the woman whose boyfriend won't marry her. And, you know, sometimes they say, oh, I could leave him whenever I want, or I can do X, Y, Z. And it's like, okay, do it. Oh, no, I can't do it because, you know, our finances are so tied together and it's just going to be, you know, we have children together. What's that going to look like for the children? And I'm like, okay, so you've painted yourself into a corner and now you're trying to make it right. Your foundation is all messed up. And we live in a society right now where that is normal. If you were to go back 60, 70 years, that was not normal procedures when it came to relationships. There was courtships. There was families that were, getting to know who the other families were, that, you know, you had to go to the father and ask for permission. You know, there were steps in place to be able to prevent as best as they could somebody from coming in and really wrecking some lives by coming together. But now we live in a society where everyone has the autonomy to make their own decisions. They have the ability to marry who they want, whether it fits God's plan or not. And then they are finding that they are in situations, they're going through pain because of it, and they want to be the victim in it, saying, well, this isn't my fault. And actually, take a look back. What were the steps that were in place? What were some of the guardrails that you decided to go over and go off-road from God's plan to get you to where you were? Now you're stuck in the mud. Now you're stuck in between a couple of trees, you can't get yourself out. So those are things that, you know, as a counselor, I'm not going to come right out and say it, but I'm going to lead them to that and say, okay, now that you know where you are, there are things that you can do to start moving in a direction, either to be okay in the situation you're in, or to move past the situation you're in. And so one of the things that, you know, a lot of people do is they want to play the victim and they are seeking it for sympathy, right? They need other people to come and say, oh, this is so hard. You know, we understand that you're living this hard life and the other person is so wrong. Yeah. Just don't look in my direction. Don't look at the steps that I took. Don't look at the things that the decisions that I made. And oh, I'm a victim and you know, they're the problem. I don't want to be seen as part of the problem. And if you are part of the problem and you recognize that, you're also part of the solution.
Yes, amen. I love that. Say that again.
If you're part of the problem, you have the ability to be part of the solution. And so we have to step back and say, okay, I played my part in this problem. And I'm looking back at the steps that I took. You know, some people, they can be coerced. And the problem is that they didn't have the ability to say no. Or they did not give themselves the ability to say no based on what they believed, but chose the easier path to, and maybe followed what their flesh was saying, to get them in a situation to now they're entangled in somebody that they don't want to be with anymore because they made bad decisions. And so we,
you know, we have to say, okay, I understand you're in the situation. My question to them is, what's your plan?
Yeah.
Right. What's your plan? Do you have a plan? And is it a good plan? Are you seeking out good, godly advice? Are you making yourself accountable to someone so that they can speak into your life and say, maybe that's not a good idea? We tend to want to say, I'm the victim. I need them to make it right so that I don't have to go through the work of having to, number one, take responsibility for my part of it. And number two, work to get myself out and into the place where I need to be.
I love how you talk about the solution, right? That if we could own whatever part we own, right? I find that to be so empowering, because then that means that I'm part of the solution. And, you know, I've always found it a little hard to communicate this reality, but, you know, my love language, you know, is Christ-centered inner healing. And what I have loved has been helping people to see exactly what you said, which is to help them understand that, let's use the word triggered. Let's imagine that they have felt victimized in their life, and maybe they were victimized, and that has become their mindset. And now they've been triggered. This is very common. They've been triggered, and it has brought them back, right? Because of these, the thoughts and the feelings that, like, in a second come back. And so now they're triggered. For me to help a person understand, you have a blind spot. You're responding to this situation, but it's actually very little to do with the present. It's actually almost 98% of what has happened in the past. But you're responding to the past by the present. Why? Because the past hasn't been dealt with, right? It hasn't been healed, back to the word that you used in the beginning, right? When we get those things healed, and I saw a turnaround, Joseph, you know, it would sometimes take a few moments for me to be able to communicate this to a person, especially a person that's been triggered, because they feel in that moment like they've been victimized by somebody's behavior or somebody's words. But again, maybe it's just because God has made me an inner healing coach. Maybe because, you know, I can see what I can see. Maybe it's because I've done this work for a long time. But I really think it's the Holy Spirit that helps us as people, as counselors, right? To be able to say to a person, this has very little to do with this person. And I would help them to say, if you can see this, you can change this. And at first it would be like this, like, how can you say that? They hurt my feelings. Yes, I know they hurt your feelings, but why? Let's get to the why. Because here's the thing. If there wasn't a part in your soul that could be wounded by that word, then it wouldn't wound you. You'd brush it off. You'd say, they got a bad attitude, and you'd move on. But the fact that you are triggered, you are physically here, you're emotionally somewhere else. Okay. And so it comes back to, you know, this ability to find healing and to find that you are a part of the solution. Why? Because you can get healing and realize you're not helpless. And here's like what I like to tell clients. At one time as children, you actually were helpless. You didn't have a lot of options. You depended on parents to feed you, love you, care for you, protect you. And, you know, sadly, we know that there's a lot of people in this world that they did not get any of those things. But only by God's grace are they still alive. However, you're alive. Joseph, and I want to say, you're alive. By God's grace, you're alive. And now you get to take ownership of your home. You of yourself, of your body, of your mind, of your relationships. Why? Because at one time you were helpless, but you're not helpless anymore. And so what Joseph and I are imparting into you is, this is the day more than ever in all of our lives, because there's all of us that can have a greater, I believe, a greater level and measure of peace and healing if we'll just lean into it.
Absolutely. The other aspect of playing the victim is going into the counselor's office or session and saying, I need them to change. And it's something that I see quite often, typically with couples, sometimes, or even with the child parent aspect, where I've had people put in consult forms for their boyfriend or their husband or even their wife, and as if they were the ones seeking out the help, only to find that the other person was asking them to do counseling. And it's like, okay, let's talk about that. And usually I'll talk with that person who put it in and say, listen, I understand you want something, right? You're asking them to do something because you find that it's whatever is not working is not working. I understand that. But I do not have the ability to change them. You do not have the ability to change them. The only person that has the ability to change someone is ourselves. And so I immediately, if it's a couples counseling, if it's somebody coming in for counseling with another family member or coworkers or whatever that looks like, I tell them, listen, you do not have the ability to change that other person. I do not have that ability either. So what that does is it takes away the expectation that what they're doing is going to change that other person. I said, the only person you have the ability to change is yourself. And so a lot of people get hurt. We'll use a boundary that I love to use. A lot of people get hurt by someone telling them no. Oh, that person is standing in the way of my happiness. They told me no. And then they turn that into a trauma because what they've done is they've taken a want and put it in the place of a need. And because they've taken that want and put it in the place of a need, they've said, you are no longer, you're standing in the way of my needs. I need this. And so then the question is, usually I have for them is, really? So if you don't get that, you're going to die. No, I'm not going to die. Oh, okay. So then it's not a need, it's a want, right? And there's some good wants. There are some things that you want that are very, very good, but you can't take them. You cannot demand somebody to give you a want that is good. And so then we say, oh, because they're standing in the way, I'm the victim. They need to change. So the ability to change only lies within ourselves. And nobody can take that away from us. You know, nobody can stand in the way of that. And with that, we need to understand that we do not have the ability to change someone else. They have to want that. They have to walk through that. And there are things that you can do. Like we did a whole thing on biblical separation. If somebody's doing something wrong and you're not a victim, but you're in with them and you're taking responsibility for your part of it, sometimes you have to let them go, do the thing that they're doing, and allow for the consequences for their own actions to affect themselves. And so if we separate, sometimes what that does is that's a wake-up call, or we're removing ourselves from bad behavior. They could be on drugs. They could be involved in criminal activity. They can be abusive. They can be doing things that are harmful. You have the ability to separate. You have the ability to remove yourself from that situation. And make sure when you do that, do not play the victim. Take responsibility, because if you're taking responsibility and you're not playing the victim, there's the there's better chances that somebody's going to believe what you're saying, especially if they're acting in the way that you say they are. The moment we play the victim, what we've done is we've given that power, we've taken that power from us and given it away to the other person or other people who are in our lives.
So well said. I have to laugh. You know, you're stating the truth. You're stating the obvious, right? Which is we cannot change other people. And I'm laughing because we can barely change ourselves, right? It's like we forget that we don't even know how to change ourselves, forget trying to change other people. And it's an area that God did not give us authority over is other people, right? We can ask for what we want. We can tell people what we want, but ultimately people have their own will. And so do we. And, you know, you said something that cracked me up too. It's happened to me a couple times, Joseph, where unbeknownst to me, I've gotten smarter about this, but unbeknownst to me, I would have, let's say this, a parent give me a session for their child, right? Older teenager, young adult. And then in spending time with them, I'll find out that the kid didn't even know they were going to meet with me. Like I'm a magician.
Right.
Like, you know, I've learned to ask much better questions and to ask, you know, ahead of time, like, why would this child want to meet with me? Or why would your wife want to meet with me? Because like you say, sometimes people are trying to control, again, it might be with the best of intentions, but setting up these counseling appointments and the counselor, you know, doesn't even have a full understanding but that's what we do is we ask questions, we get into it, but then to only find out they say, oh, well, I didn't even know I was meeting with you today. It's like, okay, we're both at a loss. Okay, but let's make the most of it. So, listener, don't make appointments for other people unless you have their acceptance and they really are leaning into this. And even then, Joseph and I would probably say, if they're serious and if they're able, let them make the appointment themselves, because as an act of their will, it's them leaning into it. So I'd like us to leave some solutions for our listeners, Joseph, because...
Well, before we do that, can I say something real quick?
Sure.
I've had reluctant clients actually say, actually, this was a good thing. I have had reluctant clients that were thankful that they were able to meet with me. And that's great. That's, you know, as a counselor, I love to hear that. Because what I want that, you know, they're going into it thinking I'm being forced to change. I'm being forced to follow somebody else's prerogative in my life. And out of it, they were able to say, okay, actually, there's some good things here. I'm going to accept this and I'm going to start making some changes for myself. The other person still needs help. Right. Sometimes I think the person asking the other person to get help is maybe the one that really needs it the most, you know, and I'm going to say that. But I have had reluctant clients actually accept and look forward to our sessions.
Yeah. And that's so good because they're probably at the end of their rope. They, you know, I believe that people do the best that they can with what they have, you know, and it's just like you only have so many tools in your toolkit, right? We all are in the process of needing to grow and learn new skills, right? In every area of our life. You know, what I knew 10 years ago in anything and everything does not apply to where I am. Even parenting, my children are 10 years older. You know, so I can't apply the same parenting skills of 10 years ago. So we're constantly in this place, hopefully, of understanding whether it's about my money, my marriage, my children, my health, right? Because the only thing that's constant is change.
Mm-hmm.
I need to keep growing. I need to keep having new skills and new tools for where I'm at in my life. And so, you know, one of the things that I want to say to the listener is... The beauty of getting older is you accumulate wisdom along the way, right? And I think that one of the best things I can say is to the listener is don't rush in and don't assume that you know what people want or that they even want your input. I have this saying, right? I never coach anybody who doesn't ask for coaching. And what I mean by that is, even if I'm in an impromptu gathering, you know, my heart is to offer advice, especially if I understand this thing that they're going through so well, right? I've learned that not everybody wants input. Some people just want to complain. Some people just want an audience. And I've learned to be discerning, okay? And whether it's in a counseling session or whether it's just out in the world, when you have a person with a victim mentality, a complaining, the first thing is I would say is don't rush in. Don't assume that they even want your input. Now that leads into my second part, is to learn to ask really good questions. I've learned to ask the questions such as, what are you hoping I can help you with? You know, because again, we often just assume that we know what the person wants. And sometimes I've learned people don't want anything. They just want a listening ear. Now, that's okay. Okay. At some point that will get old. And at some point, you know, I have to say to people, I'm not a garbage can. I've even had clients I've had to say, I'm not a garbage can. This isn't working. This isn't helping, right? I don't mind listening to people's pain and angst and anger. I don't mind that. But at some point, it has to shift. So what I've learned to say and what I'm encouraging you, listener, especially if you're dealing and you will be dealing with these types of people in your life, I want you to learn to ask good questions. And just one of those good questions is, how are you hoping I'll be able to help you? Put that back in their corner, right? Sometimes they say, I don't know. And I like to say, I don't know either. Think about it. How do you think that I can best help you? I really want to implore all of us to not give more than we can. Don't give more time. Don't give more finances. Don't give more compassion. What happens is we only have a certain amount. We have a bank. And what happens is resentment comes in if you give away more than you have the ability to give. You become worn out, and then you become resentful. I have a pattern with my husband and I. We love to give financially, but we never give more than what we can give freely. We never loan anybody anything because guess what? 9 times out of 10, you don't get it back. And what we've learned is that it destroys relationships. And we've just made a decision that we always have money set aside to give. And if a person's in need and we feel led by the Spirit to join in that need, because remember, listener, you need to be good stewards. Everything we have comes from God. So we have to be good stewards with what we have. One way that I would recommend you do that, being a good steward, is not only be discerning, but don't put yourself in being the lender, because it will harm relationships, if not 100% of the time, you know, maybe 80% of the time. And I would say also, you know, set boundaries. Joseph and I've talked about boundaries a number of times, and we're going to continue to talk about that. Kevin, Joseph, and myself, we do believe that, you know, the Bible is the first book that you should read. It talks all about boundaries. And then there is a book called Boundaries by Henry Cloud. And his partner, which I hate them when I don't remember his name, because he's worthy of remembering his name. But anyway, check out the book Boundaries by Henry Cloud. And here's why. When you set boundaries with a victim mentality person, you don't wait for the shoe to drop. What you do is you set boundaries and the known consequences in advance. I've had to do this many times. I'm so glad I did it. I'll just give a quick example. I said to a person once, if you continue that behavior, if you call me from jail, I'm not bailing you out. Just be very clear. I will not accept a phone call. I will not bail you out. Why? Because I could see what was coming down the road, and they were keeping themselves in, it's not my fault, it's everybody else's fault. You know, again, remember, like we talked about, if you're not careful in a victim mentality, you'll move into self-righteousness. And so I had to say, if that happens, trust me, don't make a phone call. I'm not accepting the phone call, and I'm for sure not bailing you out. Why? Because consequences need to be felt in people's lives. Okay, God uses suffering to mature people. And I had another example where somebody was going to be kicked out of their property if they allowed this ongoing girlfriend slash boyfriend, I'm not going to say which one because I don't want to give too much information away, who was causing a lot of chaos. And the owner of that rental said, if that person shows up again, you're gone. So I said to this person who was allowing the chaos, I said, if they kick you out, you're not moving to my place, because this is what you can control. See, listener, I've learned the hard way. I will not be controlled by other people's chaos. They're welcome to their chaos and to their victimization, and I can't stop them. And, no. They're welcome to that. It's not welcome in my home. I've spent a lifetime of cultivating peace and obedience. Amen.
Amen.
And so I would just say, when it comes to these things, pray for discernment. You know, God is so gracious. He wants to see all of us healed and matured. Just be sure that when we pray for people's maturity, there's probably an ouchie involved. I've never grown physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, where there hasn't been pain involved. And I'm grateful for that, because pain is what gets our attention. So when you reach out to the King of Kings, understand this is the same God who allowed himself to be crucified. So don't shrink back from suffering, because, you know, the Bible says that Christ learned obedience through suffering. And I could say and leave these last words, we can learn maturity through suffering. So don't be afraid to let people suffer if it's a consequence of their choosing to remain stuck in a place in their mind, in a victim's role, when really what the Lord wants to do is empower them and deliver them.
Yes. Thank you for saying those things. I want to reiterate the boundaries, right? Just like what Laura was saying, boundaries are there as safeguards, and we live in a society where the boundaries have been rewritten, yet people are being hurt. So you may be in a situation that you found yourself in and go, how did I get here? Well, you didn't have the proper boundaries in place. One of the things I talk about, let's go back to what Laura was saying about finances, is one of the things I say is never combine your finances with somebody you're not married to. And if you're married, don't keep your finances separate, because all that does is create division in your marriage. So, you know, when we combine our finances and our lives, and some people go through this thought process of, oh, I'm not ready to get married, or I don't want to get married because I might get divorced. Well, when you live with somebody you're not married to, you're actually practicing marriage. And when you break up, you're practicing divorce. So you're actually doing the things you say you do not want to do. And then you're hurt. There's pain involved. There's children involved. There's broken finances. There's all these other things, because the boundaries that were set up, that God had placed in his word, were not being used. And then you find yourself in the place of, this isn't fun, I hate this. And then you choose, because of the circumstances that you chose, you've chosen then to become a victim. It's this other person's fault. And I'm not here to put you down, but like Laura says, we're here to speak the truth. We're here to say that this is what's happening. If you don't want to hear the truth, then don't come to us looking for help, because we want the truth to be in your life. It doesn't mean your circumstances are irreversible, but there's a bigger process that you now have to go through in order to get to a place where it's good. And so boundaries are good. So if you're thinking about, oh, I want to, you know, move in with my girlfriend, or I want to move in with my boyfriend, I'm going to say, this is a warning. You're heading down a road that can cause pain. You know, you may be saying, oh, I want to get married. I want to do things the right way. This is a warning. You could be going through something that will cause you pain. Because even if you do throw the cover of marriage over your relationship, unless there's good boundaries, unless they are grounded in God's word, unless you both are accountable and have not only accountability, but you are, you know, doing the things that God has asked you to do, you're setting yourself up for pain. And it doesn't matter if you did things, quote unquote, the right way, you're going to go through pain. And so what I'm saying is that it doesn't matter what you do, there are consequences. There's good consequences and there's bad consequences. The other thing I like asking questions too, like what Laura said was, so how did that work out for you? Right? How did that work out? Oh, you had this plan. This is what you were going to do. How did that work out? And they go, oh, it didn't work out. I got burned. I'm like, okay, so what do you think you should do next? Well, I should try to do it harder and better. Well, what does that look like? When somebody comes and I meet with them for the first time, I ask the question, what are your goals for counseling? Because if I don't ask them what their goals are, we're going to go off in directions. We're going to miss the mark. And so, and then I ask clarifying questions. What does that mean? Or what does that look like? And then I can understand what their thinking is. Oh, I need them to change their behavior so that I can feel happy. Okay, well, let's write that down. And we're going to talk about that. And, you know, I joke with people, I say, I'm going to say this, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but right now I need you to make me happy. And they go, oh, I can't do that. And I was like, exactly. I said, nobody can make you happy. You know, you can't make me happy. You know, it's, you know, if I'm asking somebody else to make me happy, then I'm setting them up for failure. I'm setting myself up for failure. And so asking questions, what are your goals? Having good boundaries are good things. And I want to end here with, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17 to the end of the chapter. Because this is not particular anything on counseling or on you know, being a victim, but actually it does, because it talks about its instruction for Christian living. And, you know, before I read it, I want to say, if you're going through something and you need help, reach out to us. We want to help you. Seek out counsel. Go to your pastors. Go to somebody you trust. If you don't have a Bible-believing church, find one. You know, start looking for somebody who's grounded in the Word. Because without good boundaries, without good instruction, we're going to wander through this life, and we're going to see that things aren't going to go our way. And so we need people who are grounded. We need people who are going to speak the truth. And so reach out to us and we'll try to help you. But this is what I want to leave you with. I want to leave you with God's word. It said, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, as they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come from out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.